say Zombie Takeout.
What's Zombie Takeout?
Zombie Takeout, the best podcast ever. Come on.
Welcome to episode 41 of Zombie Takeout, the B-movie and cult movie podcast. I'm Uncle John.
And I'm Scott O.
And this week, we have the first that we're doing, but actually the second live-action film by South Park's own Trey Parker and Matt Stone. Did I get those right?
Yes, she did.
Okay.
Yes, she did.
I have tendency to switch the names. Trey Parker and Matt Stone will be doing their first film at a later date.
I think we'll be doing a couple of other works down the road.
Probably. Yeah. But this week it is Orgasmo.
It could be considered a masterpiece. Who knows?
It could.
Yeah. I guess it leads us to...
It's time for Scotto's Impromptu Plot Summary, brought to you by Porn. It's What's for Dinner.
And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.
The Mormons.
Oh, yeah. So, what Scotto's Impromptu Plot Summary begins, we see two Mormons on their beat in Los Angeles, getting doors slammed in their face. They stumble upon a porn studio at somebody's house, and they get roughed up. Well, actually, one dude hightails it out of there. The other one gets roughed up, but he doesn't want to hurt them, and he turns out to be an excellent martial artist. Which is a great scene because he does the Bruce Lee looks on his face, the surprise.
And I don't know if he did the voice, but or if they took it wholesale from a Bruce Lee scene, but the was perfect.
Right. So picture, you know, the white shirt, the black tie, doing the martial arts. Awesome stuff.
And not to interrupt, but Trey Parker did an amazing job with the stunts there.
Yeah,
with the stunt fighting.
And so the porn that they're doing for some reason requires action of a different kind that you'd expect in a porn. Come on, that should have gotten a laugh. Christ. not that to be confused with stuff like the Rocco series or anything like that, but they have a superhero called Orgasmo, and it's some lame guy that's originally... starring hurts his finger, and they cast the Mormon so he can have a wedding in the tabernacle, which is a big deal for Mormons. Hilarity ensues.
It's not the tabernacle from Zardoz, but...
Oh, that's right. Yeah, really, that's about as much as you can get into this plot, I think.
Yeah. Unless you want to get into ending, but we'll leave that.
Well, yeah, you know, I could take it a step further. The guy that's making the porn films, Orbison, and for some reason all the bad guys are named after Roy's.
That was one of my bits of trivia. Yeah, all the bad guys were after
Orbison,
somebody
Rogers,
whose first
Clark.
Name is Roy. Yes,
but they're not named Roy in the movie. They're named Max and
Acuff, which is a takeoff on Roy Acuff.
Right. So they find out he's a pretty bad guy, this Orbison, and the sidekick happens to have a degree from MIT in physics. They don't use crystals,
thankfully.
They do.
Well, at least not for that purpose. Anyway,
right? They use a fusion reactor or something, and then it runs out of batteries later on. But he actually becomes Orgasmo in real life because he's made the device that makes people have orgasms.
Mm-hmm.
Hilarity ensues.
Yes.
Again. Hilarity ensues from beginning to end of this.
Well, of course, yes. We really mean it. Usually that's just a joke, but we really mean it this time.
You know you're in for it at the opening shot of the Hollywood sign, and then underneath in the caption, of course, they have Hollywood.
Yeah. And a hallmark of a lot of the South Park stuff, and I think, again, it's Trey Parker who does it, the man does great fake hair metal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's true, too. The opening theme, and you say, hey.
And he's done it in a few movies. I think all of those movies, but with the possible exception of Cannibal the Musical, which is what I was referring to as the one we'll get to.
Oh, definitely.
He does the fake hair metal.
Live it, live it, live it.
Even in the South Park movie. And it's if you lived through that era, musically, it is dead on.
Oh, yeah. You're talking about the You're Going to Hell, Little Boy. That is a great song from the South Park movie.
And this one, and it just, musically, it is hair metal, perfect hair metal. The vocal is even pretty close to what they did back then.
Oh, yeah. I think they used this in a South Park episode, that song, too.
It does sound familiar outside of Orgasmo, because I've only seen Orgasmo once or twice, once before, I think.
They did use it for one episode.
Okay.
So, yeah, live it!
Oh, it's probably the titties.
So, let's see, wow, there's so much to go over with this.
Oh, yeah.
I don't want to give the entire thing away, naturally.
Well, yeah. The very end, I think, we'll leave.
Yeah, so I guess we should start with favorite parts.
Well, for me, the reason I pushed for the intro we had this week, my favorite part, I'm a huge Rush fan and a bass player, so the Stay Giddy Lee, best bass player ever part was a highlight for me. Also, let's see, the fight scenes, not just the one at the beginning, there were a few others, and it's clear that Trey Parker actually does the fighting.
Yeah.
And he pulls it off. It looks like a legitimate action scene.
Oh, definitely. He does his own stunts.
Yeah. Which surprised me. Another surprise about Parker, he's actually a really good actor.
Yeah, you know,
because he has to do some dramatic stuff in this, and he pulls it off really well.
True, and when you're talking of the fight scenes, how fun must it have been for Ron Jeremy to do, you know, a fight scene?
Oh, yeah.
And there's just such a glee about...
I think this is the most acting he's gotten to do in his career.
Probably. But they took such glee in having a low budget. Mm-hmm. I mean, we talk about how, you know, well, you know, you got to make the most of what you... But, you know, they gleefully slipped bad special effects in just because it was funny.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the crashing of his face in the fight scene.
I love that
horrible porcelain, you know...
Mm-hmm.
Mask or fake head that they put in that they smashed.
That made no effort to actually look like Ron Jeremy. I think, you know, they threw a wig on this, you know, random head that was, I think, a few shades too dark for Ron Jeremy.
Right, it just had a mustache and hair,
a wig.
And that was it. Right. But, I mean, they took such glee and, you know, well, we don't have the budget, so let's just, you know, do that.
Mm-hmm.
There was, you know, the fire at the end. The obvious model house.
Yeah, yeah.
But it was in fun.
Back to the stunts for a second. There's one stunt that I could not figure out how they pulled it off.
What's that?
There's a scene where one of the actresses...
T-Rex?
Well, no. But I'll get to her. One of the actresses, and I am doing the air quotes, is jumping on the bed and she slips. And she literally flips completely, the 180 flip, and lands on her head. How did she not break her neck doing that stunt?
I don't know. Maybe they had padding in the wig, or maybe. They...
I don't know. Because every time, the two times I've seen that scene, I could have swore she actually had to have gotten hurt doing it. Back to T-Rex.
Who, of course, if they ever remake this, Anthony Hopkins.
Of course. Okay. Just get the Hopkins joke out of the way now.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
T-Rex is a rather large porn star who is in one scene. Did the voice not sound a lot like Timmy?
It was. He was kind of doing a Timmy.
Little Mr. Garrison, kind of 50-50 each.
Naturally, this was before Timmy was invented, because this
was
the first season of South Park going on around here at the same time.
But those two can do about four voices each. So.
Yeah, pretty much. You know, it was actually, I think, Cartman's family. If you ever see that episode where they go see Cartman's relatives in Nebraska, it's the Charles Manson episode, actually.
Okay, I don't think I've seen that one.
Oh, that's a great one, a Christmas classic. Merry Christmas, Charlie Manson.
I will have to look for it.
They go and meet his family, and yes, T-Rex is definitely like Cartman's aunt or something like that. Or uncle, even. I don't know. Yeah.
Now, we've discussed the positives. I did have one negative.
Oh, yeah?
Way too much mayonnaise.
Well, yeah.
I know it was a joke, but it was just taken too far.
Well, you know, I didn't get to talk about some of my positives there.
Oh, I'm sorry. Just wanted to get that out.
Oh, man. Well, and I do agree. That is my negative, too. As funny as the joke is, enough with
they
the
basically
man-ass.
Use the man-ass to cover any time you're going to see breasts. They slip up the first time. You do see them once.
Yeah, quickly.
But every other time you're going to reveal breasts, they show a man in front of her close up on his ass.
And they're looking at him, so when do I come in? Mm. You're not even in this scene.
Yeah. Okay, back to your positives, because I just noticed I have a couple more.
Hammering the point home that they're doing it. That whole scene with the naughty twins, or the ass-fuck twins.
Yes, that was with the ass-fuck twins. He wanted to call them the naughty twins.
Well, yeah, I usually refer to them as the naughty twins. Because,
okay.
I mean, it's just the way, it's the same thing with the It Hits the Fan episode and their play on language.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how people just so casually throw things around, and it's like, but wait a minute, why do we have to do that?
Because that's what they do.
Well, isn't that naughty? And just their attempt at acting is just the funniest at acting. I mean, it's because, of course, they probably don't even speak English.
I think the two Asian girls in one of the, I think it's the second Austin Powers movies, but worse. Like, intentionally bad stereotypes. These are...
Yeah.
I don't think they were intentionally trying to be stereotypes. I think they were just being themselves.
But just the line, prepare to meet your doom.
Yeah.
I mean, they did the bad porn acting, actually, with the one actress, I can never remember her name, at the very beginning, like, who will save me now?
Well, isn't she an actual porn star?
Oh, I think most of these people
So it's pretty much what she does.
And, you know, that was mildly amusing because she was, of course, bored as hell. But these guys, there's just something about them trying to say, prepare to meet your doom, just in this sing-songy, prepare to meet your doom. So that whole scene, beginning to end, just my favorite in almost any film.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's their use of running gags. I think they
like
have...
the man-ass.
Well, no, I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking of...
an example of a running gag.
But they had such genius running gags in this movie, like, not to sound like a queer or nothing.
Oh, yeah, yeah. You got the voice of the intro. That just turned into Antonio Banderas there for some reason.
Oh, it was Sancho.
Okay. Oh, that the comeback of it, right. I was thinking Dave.
No.
When Dave meets his soulmate, yes.
So
also, another great bit, the random porn debate towards the end.
Oh, about who's exploited?
Yeah.
By Ron Jeremy.
Just out of nowhere, it was Ron Jeremy, and who was the other half?
I think, I'm not really sure who he is. I'm sure he's an actor himself.
But, I mean, in the context, the character.
Oh, it was Rogers, I believe.
Oh, it was Rogers, okay. they just start this random debate about who porn exploits, and they give both sides.
Right.
and it basically comes down to porn exploits everybody. But in the middle of this fairly serious debate, in the middle of this insane comedy. Out of nowhere.
Gotta love it.
Also, I will say categorically, the best cameo ever.
Jesus?
No.
Oh.
The doctor at the very end.
Who's the doctor? I didn't recognize him.
Lloyd fucking Kaufman.
Oh, wow. You're right. But they do credit Troma as a huge influence.
Parker and Matt Stone had originally intended... I thought I had that in my notes. There we go. The scene in the video store. This is also just a bit of... Go with the whole trivia.
Yeah.
In the video store, where Lisa finds out that he's doing Orgasmo, they show a row of movies. I think they were called Classics. I think that was the card over top.
Epics.
Was it Epics? No, Epics was all the Jesus movies.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think that scene, too.
I think the other one was Classics, and it's all Tromas. It's a whole bunch of Troma movies, including Cannibal the Musical, or Alfred Packer the Musical, I think, was as it was called there.
I'd never heard of it referred to as Alfred Packer the Musical.
Well, that's why they went with Cannibal, because nobody would get the reference.
Right.
Parker has noted that Troma has been the inspiration for all of his filmmaking and for South Park.
And it shows.
Oh, yeah.
So you had some other negatives?
No, just the Manus.
Oh. And that was quite a negative, actually.
Yeah. I actually have one more thing in my notes, and it was a small thing.
Sure.
Max Orbison's doorman. Did you catch the name?
No, but he looked very familiar. Like, he's a stunt guy, I think?
Probably. He did look familiar. I couldn't place him, but he's probably done a ton of stunt work. His name was Bilbo.
Really?
Yeah, it was Bilbo Get the Door. And it wasn't Bilbo. I actually rolled it back and listened again, just to make sure. It was Bilbo. There was a random Lord of the Rings reference. or The Hobbit, more particularly.
Well, now I'm at the IMDb site trying to find the dude's name. I don't think they have him listed.
But I distinctly remember he was called Bilbo, which I just loved because it was so out of nowhere and just such a surprise reference from the pull-out.
I think they just have him credited as security guard.
Yeah. He's the guy who first beats up Joe Young, Trey Parker's character.
Yeah, the guy's name is Buff Gray.
Okay.
And they don't have, and that's his only credit.
Oh wow. Huh.
There was something very strange about him, very familiar.
He was like, random 70s heavy guy with the beard and the mullet and all the muscles.
Yeah, maybe he just had that look about him, who knows?
Maybe they made him up to look like random 70s heavy guy too.
Right, that could be it.
One last bit of trivia. Trey Stone. I flipped the names. Trey Parker and Matt Stone had originally intended the film to be a musical, like their previous film, Alfred Packer the Musical, aka Cannibal the Musical. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, they had trouble enough finding investors for the unusual story of Orgasmo on its own, so that idea was dropped. It was originally going to be a musical.
I would love to see this as a musical.
Absolutely. I complained about Captain Invincible last week, but this as a musical would have been...
They make great musicals.
Yes, and it would have been a thing of beauty.
And of course, we'll get to
Cannibal
the
Musical.
Yeah, there's a number of them that I can't wait to get to of theirs.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I can only think of one more, and we weren't sure we were going to do that. But anyway.
The other thing you got to love about this, why is Matt Stone just a bit player in the movie, if you think about it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
normally
you would think Parker and Stone, Stone would be Chota Boy.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Although I kind of liked the actor who plays Chota Boy, Dan, what's his last name?
Dan, I think...
It's D-A-N, D-I-A-N, something. I can't remember his last name.
Like, is it Batchett or...
Yeah, that's it.
Shut?
He was in Basketball. He's done all of their live action... Both of their known live action movies.
Right, and he's just great.
He's great, and he's kind of short.
Right.
Which fills the role of the sidekick perfectly. You get that
exactly.
that dynamic of the taller, you know, hero and the really short sidekick.
I think most people making, you know, movies like this, they would have put themselves, you know, both of them in the starring roles,
mm-hmm.
but these guys did what was best for the movie.
Yeah.
And it shows. I mean, Stone had a bit part,
but it wasn't a bit part. He wasn't a lead. It was a recurring part. As I know, it wasn't a series. It was a film, but effectively, it was a recurring part. And he had some great lines.
Exactly.
And I can't picture anybody else playing Dave.
Right. He's just some random lighting dude.
Yeah.
But he has some of the best lines in the movie. That mm-hmm. he just kind of works in there. You're not even sure why. You know, he's there, but
yeah.
he works it in. I mean, he has no bearing on the movie whatsoever.
except for some great quotables.
Exactly.
one other scene I just remembered that just killed me. When they're going into the club to get the money back for, what was his name? The Asian?
G-Fresh.
From the mobster who was shaking him down.
Right.
The doorman pats down Joe.
Yeah.
Wearing the orgasmerator.
Right.
Pats him down, ignores this big metal thing on his hand.
Uh-huh. Oh, boy.
Apparently you could walk into this club with a gun as long as you're holding it.
Right. Like, the Terminator walks over. Okay.
And I'm kind of surprised, and this is just literally the last thing in my notes, that this wasn't protested.
Well.
Because I don't remember a big hubbub about this one.
It was hard. I mean, I don't think it really had a wide release. It was
NC-17. Yeah, true. It was too under the radar, because I'm surprised the Mormons didn't go after them hardcore.
Yeah, you know, the Mormons, even when they've made fun of them on South Park, they've laid off them.
Yeah,
this
is true.
It's not like Scientology, of course.
Well, that's Scientology. But we said our piece on that, I think. But yeah, but even that's true. The Joseph Smith episode, which I've, you know, they really could have taken issue with, they didn't.
I mean, of course, yeah.
Maybe they're just cooler than we think they are.
Could be. And really, you know, the Joe Young character is still, I mean...
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a little bit corrupted by his surroundings, but he's still trying to preach.
And he's still a good guy.
Yeah.
In the end, you know, he sticks to his guns for the most part, and he's still a good guy.
Right. So, in the end, they don't come out
too
poorly on this.
Yeah.
Although the line in the little lady gives in the beginning, hilarious. But,
you know,
let you hear that for yourself.
And how many times have you wanted to say that to random Mormons showing up at your door?
So,
I got to say, there was a little, and I have nothing against Mormonism or any other beliefs. But the whole, you know, coming to the door, pushing, I don't like. So, seeing Bilbo beat them down was kind of satisfying.
But yeah, there were some references in here that are great, you know, like the Jesus and I love you and
yeah
Jesus Christ, where?
that one, yes, I forgot about that one.
So we've already kind of touched on the remakes. If
yeah.
we did this musical,
of course. And aside from possibly Hopkins as T-Rex, I would keep the same cast.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people feel that see this, I think really they should do a sequel to this, honestly.
Oh, yeah, well, I said I really don't want to give away the ending this time,
mm-hmm.
but the very ending. But they flat out almost say explicitly there will be sequels.
Yeah.
Now, it could have been a parody of that kind of ending, where it's the whole bum, 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 there's going to be a sequel. Or it could have been a legitimate interest in doing sequels, although I never saw anything about that.
Although I hear they're doing a Broadway play called The Book of Mormon, now that I think about it.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I think they're trying to bait them, and it just doesn't work.
No, yeah, I guess so.
So yeah, sequels, I would love them, but they apparently it's not going to happen.
In fact, why don't they do a Broadway version of this?
Yeah. Ron Jeremy on Broadway, who I would pay for that.
I think a lot of people would.
Oh yeah.
Then again, that's an awful lot of men asked to see live.
Oh yeah, well. But at least if it's on the stage, you can look away.
Ah, true.
You can look at something else. It's not the whole bloody screen.
Yeah. Although I think they'd figure out a way.
Probably. A whole line. They just have a bunch of guys on, you know, stripped down on stage right and left who just come out in formation at any given time.
And they have to smack their own ass, of course.
Of course.
Get in there, but I haven't smacked my ass yet.
So, are we up to brains?
I think we are.
I'm going four. I
Really?
liked
What,
it, but I liked it. I didn't love it. I really, really liked it, but I didn't love it. And like as I've complained repeatedly this week, way too much mayonnaise. So it's a four for me.
this movie, despite man-ass and all, it is still a five for me. I have watched this movie countless times over the past 13 years almost, or 12 years, whatever I started watching this one, and it never gets old.
Okay.
It never like, oh, that joke again. No, you can see this. I could watch it again now, really, and not have a problem with it. It's in a very select
It's up there
handful
with
of
Dude, Where's
movies.
My Car? For you.
Yeah. So five.
Okay, so what have we learned?
We learned not to sound like a queer or nothing. But I can watch this movie despite the man-ass.
I learned that there's a fine line between pleasure and pain. So, until next week, go to zombietakeout.com. We're not going to beg this week. I'm just going to do my usual spiel. We've got the album art, we've got the episode descriptions, the links to Wikipedia and IMDb, the episode itself, of course, the poll. Nobody has voted in the polls yet. Come on, we're giving you a chance to chime in and tell us what you would rate a movie. Please do.
Yeah.
We'd love to hear from you. So until then, well,
Next week,
until next week, episode 42. I think y'all
42.
know. I think y'all know what we're doing.
You
Until
have to
then,
know what we're doing.
yeah, please. If you don't, we have the wrong audience.
Yeah.
Until then, always remember, never forget, wherever you go in life, there you are.
There you are.
Now, I don't want to sound like a queer or nothing, but I'd kind of like to make love to you tonight.
Too much mayonnaise.